love us and bless us every day. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right. Appreciate that song. You may need to take a couple deep breaths and we'll have a little oxygen when we sing it. Whew. But greatly appreciate it. It's a great song, and I trust that it encouraged you. But turn in your word to Revelation chapter 9. We are continually going through this slowly, and we left last week at a very, I guess to say, a very interesting part of study, realizing last week the fourth angel sounded, and the third of the sun was struck, and it was the one of the trumpets, or the fourth trumpet, that was sounding, and we understood as the trumpet was sound that the skies as we know it changed, and they changed forever. And we saw that it wasn't like an eclipse that's coming up. I heard on the news today somebody paid $75 to somebody that so he could put a tent in their front yard and wait for it. $75 a night to sleep in a tent. But some people really like that stuff. But as we've seen, and again, the one thing we got to remember is this world has never seen what is happening now. So we can't even compare it to anything. There's nothing that we've ever seen, nothing that we've ever known to compare it to. So we haven't been alive. And even, you know, I even look at the flood. The flood was devastating, but it was nothing compared to this. And when you see bits and pieces of the power of God through the Old Testament, through Sodom and Gomorrah, and through the Noah and the flood, and all that God had done, this is something the world has never seen. So we need to understand that, because we're going to start getting into some very descriptive words about some of the first one we're going to look at is the locust, and some of the descriptive ways of seeing it. But again, something the world's never seen, and again, given by the power of God that we haven't seen yet or understood. So we realized that it wasn't that the sun would half of, or a third of the sun would be blocked out or frozen, because the earth would freeze if one third of the sun was no longer shining. And we looked at it as the days, the amount of day, the one third of the day, there'll be complete darkness, a darkness that you've never seen before. And it's a darkness that it's very, very fearful. The only time I've experienced probably something, anything relatively close to that is on the rails to trails. And I very lovingly coerced my wife to ride our bikes through it with no lights. And it was good as long as you could see the entrance. But as soon as you're around the bend and the entrance lights was gone, you didn't see the other end, and it was like pitch black. You could not see anything. And then when you do have sea lights, you have all the paintings of all this satanic stuff on the sides. And it's like, yeah, she said, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. And I said, well, let's go back. No, let's get out of here. Okay. We went through. And I turned around to her and I said, now, how are you going to go back home? You got to go back through the tunnel to get back home. You should have turned around. Anyway, it was a darkness that I never experienced before. Now, you get dark, you turn the lights out, but you still got the moon and the sun or stars shining. Or you have a night light. Very, very few people, unless you live out in the boonies, with no lights and a cloudy, cloudy night, you even get a little bit remote understanding of how dark this could be. And so with this darkness and all these things going on, we remember there's two groups of people that we saw in chapter 7 that are protected. But there's only one group that now moved on from chapter 7 to chapter 8 into chapter 9 in the trumpets. And that one group that God has protection on is the 144,000. Because all, by this point, if you tie in Revelation 6, you tie in Revelation 7, when they're crying out to God in chapter 6, the souls of the martyred saints of the tribulation, not saints of all time, just the tribulation, they cried out to God and waiting for wanting justice for those who took their souls. And God said, patiently wait until the last one dies. The last saved saint of the tribulation dies. And that's when we find the trumpets now coming out. So the only person healed by God are the 144,000. That's going to come into a lot of play when we go into the next section, that one group is still alive, the one group is still protected by God. So that being said, going into at the end of chapter 8, again, verse 13 says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of their other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Now I want to talk a little bit about that, because this is one of three woes that we will see. Because each time, and this goes along, one of the questions we're asked about, what is the significance of the third? In fact, if you begin to study that, you'll see that in the very beginning, when Lucifer, Satan, or the angel was cast out of heaven, how many angels did he take with him? A third. This is not a new concept to the Revelation. This one third has been mentioned many times through Scripture. But the best that I could see at this point, and again, I try to study it out, look at it, and there's so many different ideas. I mean, it'll drive your head crazy because everybody has an opinion on it. But a lot of it, when you think of the word or the number three, what do you think of? The Trinity, you think of completion, you think of a God. So some are saying that when you talk about one third, you're talking about one third of the whole. Because earlier, when the horsemen, when we're looking at the seals, there was one quarter. And now it's to one third. And then we'll find as we go through Revelation, it begins to the whole. So it's almost like going through Revelation, it's a portion of it so that God's people would wake up. And then there's a third of it so that they would wake. Now all of them will be. So it's God, to me, it's God's faithfulness going through the whole book of Revelation saying, you know, he's always given opportunity here. And so the one third, the significance of that is that a portion of the whole is destroyed so that the other portion will react. The other portion will understand. And you pretty much can see that all through Scripture when it talks about the one third. So three, obviously, is a completed number. It's the Trinity. It's one God, three persons. And so I'm not trying to put the one-third, one God, three. I'm not putting that together. But the wholeness is what we're looking at. So we again see in verse 13 that in this woe, there are things that yet to come. So I want you to think about this for a minute, because for me, it's hard to imagine John literally seeing this. This wasn't something that was audibly given to him. He's seen it. Write the things that you see. Chapter 1. Write these things. So it's something that John is, and I try to think about that for a minute, and I'm like, he has to be really messed up at this point. I mean, can you imagine seeing all this devastation, and seeing all that is going on to the people and all that's happening to these people? And it's like he's watching this movie screen of things to come, and it's interesting because even the whole book of Revelation is written in thirds. You have John write what was, John write what is, and John write what will be. So even the book of Revelation is written in thirds. So he's reading this. He's seeing this. He's trying to make sense of all this. But I can't help thinking, as he's looking at all this, he had to have understanding that, okay, God is a just God. And God warned mankind from the very get-go. You obey me, I'll bless you. You reject me, you curse me, I'll curse you. And so we are seeing the ultimate judgment of God for the rejection of who he is. That's what this is all about. That's why the only ones left standing are the 144,000 sealed. That's why they're the only protected group at this point. The protected group, Grace Age, the church, they're already raptured. The protected, martyred saints that would not take the mark, that would not follow the Antichrist and received Christ, Christ, believed in God during the tribulation, they're already gone. They're all murdered. They're dead. They're gone. Last group protected by God. Very important, because when you see this word woe, I mean, and again, knowing that they had to pay for the rejection of God, I can't imagine him knowing that there's more to come and it's worse. Because of everything we've just seen, everything we've just understood, how terrible would this be? And again, if you study anybody, you read through some of the commentaries that are written today, I encourage you, if you're going to study Revelation, you're going to look at commentaries, go back to the men of old. Go back to the men who were thinkers, who sat for hours and put it together. Some of the new guys coming out now, they're all over the map. So you need to be careful who you listen to, be careful who you study with. But when you see what is going on, and knowing that there was more to come, we find there was, three more angels yet to go. We only had four angels, four trumpets. This angel is not a trumpet angel. He's flying through saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then we have the next angel or the next trumpet being blown. So we see in verse 1 of chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. So we want to look at that in a minute. As you look at what this verse, again, verse 13 says, this angel went by and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. So understanding the word woe is important, because the word basically in the Greek is where we get our word or our expression from, pain and anger. So he's not going back saying, whoa, this is a warning. He's saying, whoa, because of all the anger and because of all the tears and all the screams and all that's going on earth. So it's a different word than the warning. And so it's basically all the distress, all the cries. It's someone who would be calling out that simply doesn't know where to run to, doesn't know where to turn, because our government's collapsed, the hospitals were overcrowded, the undersupply of things, volunteer organization, everything as we know it is gone. And it's interesting, because if you're following up and staying in tune with what's going on in the Middle East, Israel's now getting ready for a full-fledged war with Hezbollah. And they're already warning their people, do not run on the banks, because the cyber attacks are going on and all this stuff is going to be threatened and everything's going to happen. And so it's very, very small understanding of what's going to happen. So there is no banks to run to. We saw in chapter 6, Petra is the place of rocks. It's a place where all the caves were. And so some believe that a lot of this is taking place in that area, because in chapter 6, we saw them all running to the caves to hide from God. And they were praying that the rocks would fall on them and kill them, because of what was going on in the world was so difficult to handle. And again, we wrap your mind around that. We haven't never seen anything like that. No matter what tragedy you've gone through in life, it is nothing compared to what's going on. So that angel gives the woes. But that woe is very interesting, because it's basically, as he goes through in 13 and goes through and says this woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, the inhabitants of the earth, there are many people, but there's only one group that has the sealing protection of God. So there's many people, but only the 144,000 are protected. So we know that the other ones aren't saved. And whether they're Jew, Gentiles, they're mixed, they're all in there, but they're not saved, because only 144,000 of the Jews are going to be protected, not all of them. So that being said, as soon as he opened up, and as soon as in verse 13 that angel said and flew by, whoa, 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 we find the fifth angel sounded, and we see that in verse 1. The star fell from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit. And this is even interesting, because if you think of the concept of the bottomless pit, it's an image in the book of Revelation. And we've correlated it with different words and different understandings. We have taken it and run with it. We've made different ideas what the bottomless pit would be. But when you go through the scriptures and you realize that this word comes from a word, abusio, so basically that is where we get our word abyss from. And so some of you, I don't know, whatever you're reading, some of them maybe say the abyss. But we get that word abyss from, and from this word, we found this word, Greek word, 9 times in the Bible. And in the 9 times, 7 of them are in the book of Revelation. So it's not a new word that was given to John. It's a word that the Jews would have understood and John would have known what that was being talked about. So as we go through, and we're going to look a little bit about this word. If you go to Luke chapter 8, verse 30, if you have a put a bulletin or something there in Revelation and go to Luke, we find this illustration of what I believe this is referring to. And we get an understanding about this word. It's one of the times that it is used in Luke chapter 8. Should be a familiar story. Many of you probably have studied it through. And it's a story that talks about Christ going to Galilee. And when he gets over to the Sea of Galilee, there was a group, there was a possession, a demon possession going on. And in verse 30 of chapter 8, let me get there really quickly. It says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And this is the one man that was demon-possessed. And verse 31, and he besought him, and he would not command them to go into the deep. So when he's speaking to the demons, or saying to the demons, who are you? And we are the Legion. And when he answers, we are the Legion, because there were so many of them, Jesus prepared to cast them out of this individual. And the demons became very terrified, and they didn't want Christ to cast them out. And where did they mention? Into the deep. When it says into the deep, that is the same Greek word as what we find in Revelation, the abyss, or the bottomless pit. So that's important to know and understand, because as they did not want to go back into the deep, of course, we know then he puts them into the swines that were there. They all jumped off the cliff and drowned. So I think they would have ended up in the deep anyway. The water was deep. They would have died. So anyway, they died. But what we need to see, again, similarly, along with this one, is when you go to Revelation 7, 11:7, 17:8, other 2 times it was mentioned. And every time you see this word mentioned, from Luke, and then also in Revelation that we're looking at, and then in Revelation 11:7, towards the end of the tribulation, that they will be locked away in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. It's the same Greek word, to the bottomless pit. So it's not like we can take this word out in chapter 9 and we can define it any other way. Scripture needs to define Scripture. So where else in Scripture was the word used? It was used in Luke, and it was used in other times in Revelation. So Satan here is basically going back into the bottomless pit. But the key thing that we need to see through this is that every time, and again, Revelations 20, verse 1, 2, 3 is another one, the abyss or comes out of it is dynamic. That's the key thing. Every time you see this Greek word affiliated with anything, it's coming out of the abyss or going into the abyss, it's all demonic. So, and that's an important thing, because now we're going to go into what's coming out of this abyss, what is coming out of the area that they were talking about. So if you go to back into Revelations 9, this given the keys to the bottomless pit, verse 2 says, 2 through 6, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, and smoke of great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as a scorpion of the earth hath power. And it is commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on the forehead. So, interesting. Let's read 2 more verses and then we'll tear it apart. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as a torment of scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So this is like, wow. When you break it down and understand what it's saying, first of all, cloud fills the air. So the keys was given the keys to the bottomless pit. When that key was used from the bottomless pit, from the abyss, which is what? Everything dynamic came out of the bottomless pit. And so just to look at that again, as they're standing there, they could see maybe a dark cloud. You've seen dark clouds roll in, right? And you see them storms coming. You see a bad storm coming. And the darker the cloud, the more the storm. They had three tornadoes touch down here last night, the night before, in Kentucky-Ohio border. So we understand what a storms are, dark clouds are. But this dark cloud began to come in very low. It began to be moving extremely fast. And basically, it comes to a point where they realize it has nothing to do with the weather. This cloud is alive. And the reason why it's defined as a cloud is because of the million locusts that are there. It's not just a few. This makes the Egyptian locusts look like little flies. Again, the world, Earth, has never seen anything like this. Because listen, and again, describe to what power was given unto them. Who gave them the power to do this? God's in control of all of it. It's one of God's things. So God let them out, and they begin to do some interesting things. First of all, they realized that it was alive, and they weren't to touch any green. Locusts, when they come through, what do they eat? They eat all the crops out. They eat all the greens. They eat all the everything. They weren't allowed to eat the greens. All they were allowed to eat on were men. That just sounds wrong altogether. So, as they come out, they were ordered to only bite on the men, and they were given the powers of the scorpion. So, again, the screams echoing as they begin to bite, as they begin to pinch, as they begin to eat. The sores that remain after they take the bite. Now, I'm not sure if any of you have had involvement with black flies. We were in Canada one time, and we got the black flies. And they do some amazing patchwork because it's beep, 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 beep. It looks like a beautiful piece of cloth when they're done. But it's, I mean, your arms are swollen. It hurts like unbelievable. And so, again, something very small in my mind to illustrate that a little bit. But they come down. They begin to eat. So, again, put yourself in here. You've got the screams. You've got the pain. You've got the agony going on. There'll be no escape from them. And it just, everyone, as the scripture said, wish their life would die. That's how bad it is. But death will do what? What did verse 6 say? Death shall flee from them. So they're going to be going through this. And again, it wasn't like the plague in Egypt. That plague was, first of all, when it came to Egypt, they were directed towards the food supply of Pharaoh. They came in specifically to eat the food up to cause a greater famine. And at the end, they only lasted for a few days. This is 5 months. So everywhere you went, every move you made, for 5 months, you were getting bit. And you were getting pain. And you were hearing screams. And you, just vision that. Vision what was going on. You could not leave your house, and probably you could not be in your house. Them little critters would find their way in, as most of your homes have little critters. Even today, they'd find their way in. So there's no sleeping, there's no getting away from. It is a constant torment for 5 months. And then all of a sudden, you hear kids laughing, or people laughing. You hear people out playing in the streets. Because they're one of the 144,000. They're not getting bit. The 144,000 have an amazing bug repellent on them. It's called the seal of God. They weren't getting hit. They could go do whatever they wanted to do. They could accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. Again, not much left in the world, but they were able to be there and not get bit. So, excuse me, two things would happen at that point. One of them would be, wrong pipe, you would become extremely angry because you're in total torment and nothing's touching them. And you should get it that there's something about them that you don't have. And I think those that are not sealed by God are going to begin to see the protection of God on this group of people. Because nobody's dying, everybody's just hurt. Nobody's giving up anything. They're just, again, the protection from God himself. So we go down further. Yeah, well, real quick, maybe. Let's go down real quick. Verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto the horses prepared unto the battle. On their heads were crowns like gold. Their faces were as faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as teeth of lion. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was a sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpion. And they were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name was Apollyon. So we look at this individual and we're like, okay, we've never seen anything like this. You're right. So now you have a choice. There's so much controversy over all this and what they look like and everything. But the key thing we got to remember, like, what are these creatures? Well, first of all, every one of those descriptions are a description that is used based upon the power that was given to them to do. If they didn't have the tail of a scorpion, then they wouldn't be stinging like a scorpion. If they didn't have the teeth of a lion, they wouldn't be biting the people that they were to bite. So it is, I believe, a literal being, little beast that comes from the bottomless pit. If they come from the bottomless pit, what's hell going to be like? That's where they live. That's where they reside. And I think if my understanding of hell is correct, hell is going to be a place of constant torment. The gnashing of teeth, the wailing, the crying, the wanting to die and never being able to die. And so as I studied through this, I thought, you know, I've heard the phrase many times that, man, it's like hell on earth right now because of all the things going on. No, it ain't. That's not even close. This will be because a piece of hell literally came out and began to torment them already. So, that being said, the thing to remember is whether you agree that they're literal beasts, whether you agree that there are some kind of an allegory going on here and defining something else, you got to remember where they come from. And it's a place that was locked. It's a place that had to be opened in God's timing. And it's a beast that came from hell, the bottomless pit, to torment those still on earth. All that being said, I truly believe that, again, the king over them was the angel of the abyss. Very fitting name, because he's called the destroyer. He's called the destruction. One of the God and Satan is the destructor. He is the destroyer, deceiver. And so that's who runs them. That's who they listen to. So for 5 months, this horror is going to be going on. And when this horror qualifies for the first woe, that to me would be bad enough. But there's two more to go. There's two more to go. So all of those who made it through this 5 months, none of them died. So then now they're going to go through the next one and the next one. And so it's amazing to me to see and understand, because when you get into verse 12 and following, Verse 12 says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two more after. So we're going to look into them next week and see what those woes have to do and what they're going to bring out. But this is an unbelievable moment, and I just can't even fathom. Because if you've ever ran the beach or walked in the sand, or if you've ever had the grand experience of being down south and stepping on a red ant pile, experience, it's not pretty, because they get up your pant leg, they get in your shoes, and they constantly just bite and bite and bite and bite and bite. Man, they hurt. Still, it's nothing compared to what's going on. So, to me, again, the more I study this, the more I am fired up to tell people about Christ. Because we still have the opportunity to make sure that people we know don't go through this. That being said, who are you talking to every day? Who are you telling about Christ every day? Because this ought to be, you know, it shouldn't be a, whew, I'm saved, I'm not going to be here. True, but how selfish is that? Just because you're not going to be here doesn't mean you shouldn't be out there trying to make sure everybody else you know isn't also. So very important. It should stir you to be more diligent into sharing the redemptive story. Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for the study. We pray as we continue to just pick our way through the truth of this. God, that we continue.